Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Teresa, and with me today is...
Steve.
Thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christlikeness, as we explore scripture, faith, and the Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. Today we are continuing on to Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he's in the wilderness.
Do you know what today is? What percentage we've made it through the Psalms?
Oh, no.
63 of 150. It's a big day.
What is the percentage of that?
I don't know.
You just asked me what the percentage was.
Like the fraction, I meant. Fraction. Fraction. 63. I don't know.
What?
I don't know if that's divisible. It is. It's 21 of 50.
Okay. I don't know if that helps me.
Psalm 63.
Okay.
O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. And when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped.
Thank you. So as I kind of mentioned a few minutes ago, this psalm is from when David was in the wilderness of Judah. Most believe that this time was before he was king, but some think it could be during his exile from the throne during the rebellion of Absalom.
Yeah.
But most feel it's before.
Yeah, he spent a few times in the wilderness.
The man seemed to be on the run quite a lot.
He had something against sleeping in the castle.
I mean,
no, he didn't. He was fine sleeping
castle.
He was fine sleeping in his palace.
He was. I think it's fairly clear
where he slept in his palace.
Yeah, yeah. So, like verse one, he starts out, "Oh God, you are my God," right? Well, David boldly declares that Elohim is his God. Now, I think it's important to remember that during this time, there were idols, false gods were everywhere, right? Everybody had a god. The people that weren't Israelites had multiple gods. So David here is declaring the one true God as his God.
Yeah, and that's no different today.
No, absolutely. It is a little different in that it's portrayal. We don't go around always saying that, you know, like I worship the sun or I worship
we
this.
We do,
or,
but instead of saying, hey, we're Philistines, we're like, I'm hero cult worship of Hollywood or
athletics that's fair.
Or
that's
music
true.
Or...
There's the other religions.
There's functional gods out there. And then there's actually the pantheon of ultimately demon gods apart from God that are out there in the world, right?
Right. So here David is boldly declaring, oh God, you are my God. Yahweh, Elohim, you are my God. My soul thirsts for you.
Yeah.
Right? Thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water.
I don't know if I've ever been that thirsty.
I was going to say, have you ever been so thirsty, like that need for water, right? David has this immediate need for God. He's earnestly seeking him alone.
As Canadians, I don't know if we can actually understand that. Because if you're from another part of the world, this is like an incredible stat. But like our country holds... A ridiculous percentage of the fresh water of the world.
Right, and we don't have, we do have a little bit of desert, but it's so tiny.
Deserts. Well, we do, but they're Arctic, which is frozen water.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, we have deserts of frozen water.
But we also have a desert.
That's how much water we have.
In here in BC, but it's very small.
So,
it's just the tip of...
Yeah, like honestly, I'm looking out my kitchen window as it's raining right now. At a lake, and if I turn my head 90 degrees, I'm looking at a different lake. Like, we literally...
Yeah, we are surrounded by water.
So this whole, my soul thirsts, like, if you get lost in the woods in Canada, there's water somewhere.
Well, there's even just the dew in the morning, right? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of water, but so here David has this immediate need, right? He's earnestly seeking him. Mm. He knows that nothing will bring him the satisfaction he desires except God, God alone. Yeah. And he feels that in his soul and he feels that in his body. So verse 2, where it says, I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, behold your power and glory, kind of continues that search for God. And then talking about, we were just talking about deserts, right? Yeah. David knows there's desert all around them. It's dusty. He gives this picture of longing for water, which I think everyone in Israel and Judah would have understood.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Warm, dry, arid land, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like that this is a good reminder for us. David was searching out God, feeling the need for him, feeling that weakness in him. He was feeling dry. He was feeling weary. He was feeling weak. He didn't wait until he felt better to go search for God.
Yeah.
Not like, I'm going to get cleaned up, then I'm going to go look for God. I'm going to deal with this, then I'm going to go look for God. No, he was looking for him in his need.
Yeah.
Right? And it's kind of a good reminder that Jesus is the one who fulfills that in us, and he is the one that cleans us up. We don't do that ourselves.
Right.
Right? So we need, when we feel that need for him and we know that we need him in our lives, we don't wait. Go now. Search for him now.
Yeah.
Go to him now. He's the one that makes us new. We cannot. So search for God now in your deepest need of him.
Yeah.
And then continues where he beholds the power and glory of God, right? It's not his own. Any good in his life is not his. It's God's. God is the one who renews, refreshes, and holds that power of life and death.
Yep.
Verse 3, he goes on and says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So David knows this, right? Because your steadfast love is better than life. He earnestly is seeking out God's love. Now, I came across this thing of how David has experienced a love and a depth with God that I think most of us don't reach, right? Yeah. Like one of the commentaries had this thing. It says, people regard life as natural. David regarded God's love as natural. People enjoy life.
Yep.
David enjoyed God's great love.
Yeah.
People sacrifice so they can live. David would sacrifice for God's love.
Yeah, that loving kindness, right? I don't know if you were going to mention the word.
Mm-hmm.
It said, good, go for it.
No, I was like, I was almost done. People despair without the sense of life, whereas David despaired without the sense of God's great love. Yeah, so back to that loving kindness.
The chesed, right?
Yeah.
Did you, because there is one book of the Bible that spends an exorbitant amount of time kind of showing us what chesed means.
Right.
In the story of Ruth.
Yes, that's right.
So the loving kindness of Boaz to Ruth and to Ruth to Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the story, it's vice versa kind of thing.
Right.
It's that loving kindness, that undeserved love that we walk in with God.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, without reason, God chooses to love.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And this is why I think that David viewed God's love was more precious to him than his own life, even.
Well, yeah. Like, you know, David spends his whole life having people try to kill him, and it's only God's loving kindness that keeps him alive.
Absolutely.
So it would be pretty easy to be like, you know what? When people are trying to murder me, you keep me alive. When I screw up completely, I don't suffer the consequences, right? Because the whole, depending on where you put this story, if it's later on when he's running away into the wilderness in his kingship, like he should have been stoned and killed in the Bathsheba incident.
Right?
He probably had no right beating Goliath in hand-to-hand combat.
No.
He, you know, all of these things.
And
you know, David understood in a very real way. God loves me.
Yeah.
He wants to keep me around.
And this is a love that he like sought after in his life and, you know, praised God alone and allowed for others to hear, like out loud for others to hear because of that great love, right? And then verse 4, he continues and says, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. And David knew that this pleased God, right? Mm-hmm. To have the people that he created, that God created, praise and lift him up. Now, and we do it today in our churches, we often raise our hands. And in this time of the Hebrews, to lift your hands was your outward praise to God, that sense of receiving and surrendering to God.
Yeah.
Right? Like, my life is yours.
Yeah.
Do with me what you will.
So it's the platter.
The platter. There's many.
If you've ever online, there's a couple comedians that kind of talk about the way that you do your hands. hands. Like yeah. the platter is just having two hands
out like
in
that.
Front.
Yeah.
Palms up, hands open. Like yeah. you're either carrying a platter
or
to
ready.
Someone or you're ready to receive it.
Right, right.
That's the receiving part. It was the Old Testament Hebrew way of raising your hands was to have open hands to
that
receive,
posture of
to
humility.
Receive whatever God is going to take, but also open hands so that God can reach into your hand and take whatever he wants because he has that right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, which is interesting because the last few weeks, there's been some change in our lives, right? Especially my life with yeah. different things. And over the last couple months, I've just felt God has given me this image of that. Hands open.
Yeah.
Let him work. Let him decide. And I just surrender. And it is a humbling place to be. Yeah. It's an amazing place to be when you give up of yourself and let God work. Yeah. It's also hard.
Yeah. And
right?
I mean, rather than leave people questioning, there was one employment opportunity where the door closed and another employment opportunity that opened and another employment opportunity that opened.
Mm-hmm.
Was it three and another, if you really want to divide it down? Anyway, so it was a process of trying to figure out what is God actually calling?
Yeah, calling me to, us to, essentially, because...
In the day-to-day...
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. So just that posture of open hands, right? Letting him give, letting him take away.
Yeah.
And just that trust, right? And so the David continues and says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. What did you say?
Best part, fat and rich
food. Fat and rich food.
I basically live on fat and rich food.
Do
you? I quite enjoy it. Yeah.
I quite enjoy it. I think what David is trying to say here is
this one I get. Thirsty in the desert? Don't get it. Satisfied with fat and rich food? Yeah. Get it.
I know. I was going to say, David knew that complete satisfaction in God, in his love and in his will, that's where satisfaction comes from. And I was going to say, can we say that? Can we say that we honestly can tell each other, no, this is where my satisfaction comes. It's in God, as if I'm filled with fat and rich food. Like, this is how he fills me.
It's that content after the meal. You got to just lay down.
Oh, don't you? Well, did you eat too much, maybe?
Sometimes it's just because it's so good.
But David knew that in surrendering and seeking and receiving the love that God has for us, that's where that satisfaction comes from. So is it easy?
True.
No, I don't think it's always easy. That laying down of ourselves, that surrendering of our desires and our will to God's.
Yeah.
Right? That's just a process.
I think it's the NIV that says that this is, you'll be satisfied with marrow and fat.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Marrow and fatness.
And fatness.
So, right, but in previous worlds, the nutrition wasn't so great. So when you got down to the bone.
You ate the marrow.
You broke the bone open and you sucked out every bit of goodness that you could.
I guess we boil the bone, essentially.
When you stop and think about that, our souls in God, we are supposed to be sucking out and remembering and living on every bit
every
of goodness.
Thing he gives us.
That God gives to us, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's intentional. Right? I don't think that just happens.
No.
That's an intentional thing in your life that you seek after. Then David continues in verse 6, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. So he's that continuous praise, not just during the day, but the night. Now, I don't know about you, and I know you as my husband because you sleep most of the night. But night for me.
Yeah, what else are you supposed to do? I don't know.
I don't know. I lay a lot. I am awake a lot at night. Night is that time for me when all my doubts, my fears, my anxiety, that comes like crashing in for me. And then I can't sleep. It robs me of sleep. It robs me of joy.
Yeah.
It robs me of my hope for tomorrow. So then what better time to remember, to seek God, to praise God, to bring all of those to God than in the night, right? When that guard against, and I mean in the daytime is too, but to guard against that, those worries, those fears, those anxieties, those things that come crashing in that do rob us and steal us of that joy and of feeling that satisfaction in God's love.
Yeah.
Right? We have to guard ourselves.
And that phrase, the night watches,
right?
You've got to remember there's two ways that gets used in Scripture.
Right.
One is the expectation of something coming.
Okay.
Like as the hours click by, you're waiting for this exciting thing to happen.
Right.
But the other way is you're sitting in your despair and the night watches are happening. Like you hear them calling out. Like while you need rest, you can't get it.
Right.
So it's used actually both ways. Here, I think it's used When I remember you on my bed, I meditate you on the night watches.
Oh, the watches of the night, yes.
I'm awake all night, and I hear the guards changing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like that would be, I don't know, like if you watch the old the old Robin Hood cartoon. 4 o'clock, yeah. It all's well.
Right.
Right, you'd hear the changing of the guards, right?
It's a very real thing, right? Yeah, exactly. So then he continues on and says, you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. So David remembers the help that God has brought him to the spot that he's in. He's thankful. He's in the shelter of God's wings where he's safe so he can rejoice, right? This is kind of that, yes, he is our refuge, but also David is in the presence of God here,
yeah,
right? And this is where he rejoices. This is where he's safe. And then he keeps going. And this is where his soul clings to God, right? My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Now, there is a lot of right hand mentioned, God's right hand, right? That where he saves delivers, it's his right hand. So here, David's soul is connected to God. He's clinging to him. The connection to the word cling expressed here implies the same sense of joining or gluing together that we see in Genesis 2:24, where it says a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife. So it's that same kind of, you can't separate that.
Yeah.
And this is kind of how David's relationship with the Lord is in his whole life, but this moment he's talking about. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. Right? So I think it's important here, David said, those who seek to destroy my life. So his closeness with God, his reliance on God, his hands open, accepting and being delivered by God, doesn't immediately take away all of his problems. Right? He still has enemies. He still has people who want to kill him. But what is he doing instead? He's trusting that God will take care of it, that God will deal with it, that God's got a plan for this, and he can just trust and walk through that.
Right.
You got a look on your face like you want to say something?
No, it's coming. It's the portion of the jackals bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Because I actually am not going really into that, like other than there were jackals and they obviously... But let's go to verse 10.
Oh, sorry.
They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be the portion for the jackals. So David knows that God in his time and his way will deal with David's enemies, and he will trust this. Okay, so what are you going to say about the jackals? Because that's next.
No, I was more looking. Didn't we just do a psalm that talked about the portion of the jackals?
But it must, it is a few times.
I was looking back, and I was going, wasn't it just like last week or the week before?
Well,
but it wasn't coming.
I mean, the jackals, the hungry dogs, right? They're prowling. They're always looking.
They're always there.
They're there to destroy whatever's left for them and eat it.
Well,
right?
And I mean, so living again in Canada, we don't have jackals, but we do have wolves.
Yeah.
And we do have the closest thing to a jackal that we've got would be a coyote, which is kind of this in-between animal where fully capable of hunting.
Yeah.
But much more happy to scavenge.
Right.
And so when a coyote gets something, you don't find leftovers.
No, that's true.
There is no leftovers. True. The portion of the jackal is everything. It will take everything.
That idea that they just clean up everything that's left there.
There'll be nothing left.
Right. Yeah. And then verse 11, he says, but the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Now here, even if you take it that this is happening while he's in the desert, before he is king, David refers to him as king because he knows that he is the anointed king by God. So before he even ascended the throne officially, he is the chosen king, and he knows this, right? Excuse me, this is God's promise to him.
Right.
And he rejoices in God while he waits for God's timing, while he's walking in that obedience, knowing that he is going to be king.
Yeah.
And
if you're wondering, that part is all in 1 Samuel chapter 16, where David and Saul and the whole pronouncement and the announcement that there should be a change in the kingship, that's where that happens. You can kind of read that story there if you're not familiar with it.
That's a good point. That's good. So David is praising him while he's waiting. He's praising him while he's trusting. He's praising him while what God has promised has not yet happened, right? So, I mean, what are you waiting on God for? Is there something that you need to seek him for, that you need to open up your palms, open up your hands, and accept his love, and accept whatever he gives or takes from you? Like David, do you desire his steadfast love more than life? My encouragement to you today is to seek God. Experience the power and freedom of his love in your life. Don't give up on waiting for him and for praising him while you might be in the desert of your life. Praise him. Wait for him. Cling to Jesus. He desires you, your heart. He desires for you to know him, and he desires for you to feel loved by him because you are precious to him. Yeah. So don't give up. Continue to seek after him. Continue to praise him and thirst for him, because it's in him alone that your satisfaction will be found.
Yeah, thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like, or a comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day. Hope you can join us next time.
Until next time.